Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday, absolutely loaded live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here, FS1. It is great to have you here today. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell, NFL Meat Sandwich, stops by. If you like to bet football, fantasy football, or just love the sport, Urban Meyer next hour, too. Joy Taylor has done. You do things to your hair. I don't even know how you do it. I seriously don't even know. I don't understand how you do it.
I don't. I always spring these on you too. I don't give you any warning. None. I just start giving you a text. Like, hey,
I like
Colin,
this one.
It's going to be new today.
So what is this style?
This is just, you know, we just wanted a little change up. My hair, as you guys all know, you're going on my natural journey with me.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in that mid stage.
I think it's very glamorous looking.
Thank you.
I think it's very glamorous.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's start.
Let's do the show.
My wife always says, stay current. You ever gone to a resort and it had a legendary name and you book it and you get there and you're like, a hotel or a resort, and you're like, ugh, they didn't stay current. You ever go to a restaurant? You go to a town you haven't been in for a long time. Could be San Antonio, could be New Orleans, could be Minneapolis. Oh, that's a great steakhouse. You go there and you're like, ugh, they didn't stay current. Especially now, everything's changing. Everything these days, everybody is much more mobile, and there's so many smart people out there. So we had this story yesterday. The Cowboys got flexed off of Sunday Night Football. First time since 2006. First of all, for Dak, because Jerry's really at his heart a businessman. Through all of his turmoil, still America's team. This ticks off Jerry Jones more than losing. This is great for Dak. Dak makes you relevant. Dak's a topic on Monday. Always. Even when you lose with Dak, they score a bunch of points. They don't flex you out with Dak. So this just guarantees Dak's the future, right? So I just want you to think about it. I'm going to ask you a question because I do believe, and it's one of the things my wife's really good at, stay current. Don't cling to things. Don't have a legacy based on yesteryear, okay? So Dallas hasn't been to an NFC championship game in 25 years. That was Troy Aikman, right? So 25 years. That's the longest drought in the NFC, except Detroit and Washington. So let me just ask you a question. And I want you to think about this. So the Cowboys have been, they've won since 1995. 4 total playoff games. Like wild card games. That's it. Carolina, in 25 years, has won 9. The Jags have won more. The Jets have won more. The Jets have been to 2 AFC championships. Crazy hot mess. Atlanta's won more. Okay. So let's do a process of elimination. Let me ask you this. So let's put together the franchises. We'll call it kind of the gold standard of the NFL, where we consider the elite franchises. They not only win, they win big games. They're mostly consistent. You just say them and you respect their front office. There's a consistency and excellence and intelligence. They don't overpay for players that often. I think you'd go Packers, Steelers, Ravens, Patriots, Seahawks, Saints. Denver's down now, but the Bolin family was remarkable. I always called Denver the Steelers with a mountain range for a long time. They're just having a down stretch. The Eagles, the Giants, the Chiefs, and the Colts. These are really the elite franchises. Excellence, intelligence. They usually don't overpay. They've had downturns, but they bounce back. Then the second level would be respected. They don't have as many big wins. They've had longer droughts, but I'd say Niners, Vikings, Titans, Atlanta, Rams, and Carolina. Now, I know what you're saying. I mean, the Titans really... All right, let's think about it. I want you to think about the Titans for a second. Let's just think about the Titans, because I know you're rolling your eyes at the Titans. The Titans have a Super Bowl appearance. Dallas doesn't. Beyond that, 2 other conference championships within 25 years. Dallas doesn't. And they have double the playoff wins. Okay, what about hot, crazy Atlanta? 25 years. 2 Super Bowls. 8 playoff wins. Hell, they've won four playoff games since 2012. This morning, the Cowboys are in last place. Since 2015, they were also in last place. So in the last 5 years, they have one playoff win and two last place finishes. You are, my friends, who you hang out with. The third category of NFL teams is what I would call the eye roll teams. Overpay, even like some of them playing well now. It's Dallas, it's Arizona, Jets, Cleveland, Chicago, Buffalo, Jacksonville, Tampa, Chargers, Houston, Cincinnati, Raiders, Dolphins. They turn wins into losses. Last 25 years, you know, longer droughts, a lot of embarrassment, too much drama, and just not winning big games. It's not winning big games. Kind of if they make the playoffs, it's one and done. Always have a new coach on the way. You never really think they get the coach right in most instances. It's kind of the eye roll. Dallas is there now. Last 25 years. Dallas has not stayed current. They overpay for running backs. They sign these long contracts to offensive linemen they now can't get out of, and they're old and injured. They spend way too much money on perimeter players sometimes and not enough on, like, their defensive front. They take gambles in the draft that other really well-run teams don't. Sometimes they develop players. A lot of times, though, the Steelers, Packers do. The Cowboys don't develop their players. The Cowboys, on their Instagram, put a picture of themselves at 25. They were hunks. They're now like 50. They're overweight. They're trying to fool everybody. This isn't a shot at Dallas. 25 years. You're the Lions. You're Washington with a bigger brand. You're the resort that people still think about, but you book a weekend there, you go with your wife, and you're like, man, the paint's peeling. The food's not very good. And you look out your window in Miami and you're like, we should have stayed at that place. It's way more current. They got a better pool. It's where all the cool people are. It's not a shot at Dallas, but they're kind of in the eye roll. They're kind of in the eye roll club now. You kind of look at them and go, it's Cincinnati. Oh, it's Buffalo. Oh, it's Miami. And by the way, I think Buffalo and Miami over the next 10 years are going to move into the next level. I'm not going to give it to them now. But I think they're really close. But, I mean, last 25 years, Miami, you roll your eyes. You roll your eyes at the Jets. They got more playoff wins. All right. So the Big Ten, I like this. The Big Ten Football Conference, right smack dab in the middle of America. They have changed their rules. Good for them. And they're now allowing Ohio State to play in the Big Ten championship game. And the reason they did is they said, well, regardless of whether they played or not in the championship game, because of their head-to-head victory over Indiana, win or lose against Michigan, they would have been in it, right? So they just said, let's just change the rules. So tip of the cap to the Big Ten. But I said this yesterday. This idea of fairness in college sports just cracks me up. There are teams that simply matter more. So Fox and ESPN spend about a month before the season. You don't see this. It's one of the coolest things that happens in sports that nobody sees or talks about. They have a draft, and they draft games and dates. And number one on the draft board every year for Fox and ESPN is the Ohio State-Michigan game. The second game is usually Ohio State-Penn State. The third game is usually Ohio State versus a big out-of-conference team, Texas, Oklahoma, whoever they play. The fourth game is Ohio State and Michigan State. The fifth game is Ohio State and Wisconsin. Then you get into Michigan-Penn State. In most years, the first four or five, or five of the first six games are Buckeye games. That's what the networks want. The networks are telling you they're just more important. Listen, I've lived out West forever. USC is the rival, the number one rival for about 7 to 8 of the Pac-12 teams. When they're down, the conference is down. Actually, right now, the Pac-12's got a lot of schools. Arizona State's got the right coach. So does Stanford. So does Utah. So does Oregon. They're all doing well. But USC is down, so everybody thinks the Pac-10 is down. When Pete Carroll was at the Pac-12 and dominating it, it's the worst the conference has ever been. Stanford was awful. Oregon was awful. Washington was awful. UCLA had the wrong coach. You need USC for the Pac-12 to be relevant. If USC now was in the Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson class, you'd all be going, oh, those West Coast football teams. Actually, the conference has some decent teams. USC, though, is not a national player anymore as of today. It's the same thing with Ohio State. This idea of purity and fairness in college football is absolute nonsense. Networks, remember, college football is all about recruiting. Networks, the big ones like this one, put the big dogs like Ohio State and Bama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Notre Dame. They put them on TV every week. They fight for their games. Humongous recruiting and marketing advantage. Schools don't all have the same money. Ohio State's loaded. Alabama's loaded. Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Texas, they're loaded. They have juice bars and smoothie bars and facilities and slides and pools and trainers and other schools can't have. You got to get over fairness in college sports and specifically college football. Also, let's be honest. Wouldn't you want Ohio State representing the conference if they have to play a Clemson or a Bama? The last time non-Ohio State from the Big Ten got to the playoff, I think it was like Michigan State, and they got beat 38-0. They humiliated the conference against Alabama. You don't want that. So this is the right move by the Big Ten. Certain people, certain businesses, certain franchises mean more, matter more, and it's not fair anyway. Get over the fairness thing. Just get over that. It's not fair. Some schools have bigger budgets. They're surrounded by better high school programs. They've got better topography, better geography. They're prettier. They're less rural. They have more heritage. They have more history. Ohio State's one of them. Get them in. This is who you want representing your conference. Nothing against the Hoosiers. Nothing against Northwestern. Nothing against Sparty. It's nothing against the Badgers. But if you're going to play in a championship game and you have to bend the rules, bend it for the Buckeyes. That's my new motto for the Big Ten. Bend it for the Buckeyes. Just bend the rules. Bend them for the Buckeyes. They're starting to, I'd be honest with you, really people are starting to really love me in Ohio. I will accept Grand Marshal invitations for random summer parades. Coming up next, there's always been a gap, but the gap is now even greater for LeBron James. I cannot believe what I saw this morning. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Geico. Get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico makes it easy. Bundle your home and car insurance. I bet our parents couldn't do that. Could they do that back then? These new insurance companies, they can, you know, it used to be one way to get a mortgage. It was like a 30-year mortgage. That was it. And now there's like 74 ways to get a mortgage. Anyway, this is Colin's Financial Help. Thanks for joining us. I have Albert Breer around the corner. So I saw this. So ESPN ranks top 10 players in the NBA. So do we have a list of top 10? So they have LeBron 1 for our radio audience, Anthony Davis 2, Giannis 3, Luka Doncic, terrific young player 4, Kawhi Leonard 5, that feels a little low to me, Kevin Durant 6, off an injury, Damian Lillard 7, 8 for Steph Curry, 9 is James Harden, and 10 Jokic for Denver. So I just want you to think about this. We know LeBron's the best player. The gap is now widening. LeBron is in his 18th year. Michael Jordan played 15 years, then quit. LeBron's in his 18th year and is still the best, and I think the gap is widening. So let's look at this list now. So the number two guy, put it up again, the number two guy, Anthony Davis, could not win a playoff series of note without LeBron. The number three guy has struggled in the playoffs. The number four guy is a defensive liability, made his first playoffs, Luka, and one and done. And then you've got bad chemistry guy, Kawhi, always hurt Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, 6-8 or always hurt. Damian Lillard, who I love, had a losing record. James Harden's a weirdo, and Jokic is not close to LeBron. This list is a list of can't win in the playoffs, bad for team chemistry, odd for personality, can't stay healthy, and LeBron. That's the list. That is the I would make an argument. Luka, with about a year, could be two. But folks, it is a that list is a health list, a chemistry-ish, chemistry problem list, kind of an odd personality list, a bad playoff history list, and LeBron. And I know, Michael Jordan played college basketball. You can't say he was done at 15 years and LeBron 18. Yeah, those daunting college basketball years where Michael played against college stiffs 35 games a year. Like, Michael at the end was not as vertical a player. LeBron, in going into year 18, the second best player on this league now is Anthony Davis. And I think most of you would argue that point. You're arguing too. He was invisible in New Orleans. But with LeBron, I just wrote it down. Health, A. Leadership, A. Maturity, A. Clutch, A. Experience, A. Works well with others, A. I mean, the gap is just gigantic. And I like the other players. I think Kawhi's a little low. I'd have Kawhi in my top three. You know, get a basket, get a stop. You know, he's got a quirky personality. That part I'm not going to deny. But get a basket, get a stop. I think Kawhi's in my top three. I'd take Kawhi over Luka today just because I think he's a significantly better defender. And I think he's been in big spots and won championships in games 5, 6, and 7 in the finals. And I think there's incredible value to that. But wow. You can start looking at that list. It is a lot of wow and a lot of holes and a lot of issues. Except LeBron. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, Carson Wentz will be watching from the sidelines this weekend as Jalen Hurts gets his first NFL start on Sunday.
Odd.
Well, it's 2020, so anything's on the board. Yeah. And his Eagles teammates, Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce, are standing up for Wentz and showing their support.
Carson's, he's my best friend. He's my guy. I've always had his back since day one. And it sucks for a guy like Carson to be put in that position because, you know, like I said, it's never just come down to just one guy. It's 11 guys on the field.
Yeah, the moment he came in his rookie year, I thought that he transformed our offense. And that's not just him as a player now. That's him as a person. The intelligence he brings, the athleticism he brings, the competitiveness he brings made a tangible difference in practice every day and on game day.
Both of them said that the decision to move from Wentz to Hurts would not lead to a divided locker room.
Well,
but
I would say this. I think it's really cool that two great players defended Carson Wentz. Now it falls on Doug Peterson to make sure the locker room is not divided. But I will say this, and I think you would agree with me, if they win, it will not be divided. Now the question is, if they beat the Saints this week, I don't think they would. But it's the NFL. We just saw the Giants go to Seattle with Colt McCoy and win. We've seen the Chiefs lose at home to the Raiders. If the Eagles played great and won, I think you just come to terms with, okay, we're still, we'll say Monday? You know the Eagles can win this division. And I think winning solves almost everything in this league.
Winning will solve everything, but I don't think they're going to win. And you can't fool players. I don't really think that's a good sign that they came out so strongly in support of Wentz.
It makes them interesting.
They're the ones that see the practices. They're the ones that know this locker room.
Right.
Those two are leaders on the team and just came out very strongly defending Wentz, saying it's not all his fault. And it's not all his fault.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what is Doug Peterson supposed to do?
Well, listen, Trubisky got benched. And then he's got his job back. So, I mean, even though I think Philadelphia has done him a disservice with the statue and the drafting Jalen Hurts, people have lost their jobs and come back. It's not, I mean, Mitch Trubisky's come back. Some things in life aren't fair, but they're your reality. So you're going to have to sit on the bench.
Nothing in life is fair, and you're in a very competitive industry.
Yeah.
So I'm on the other side with you with the drafting Jalen Hurts and the statue. But at the end of the day, you have to go out there and perform.
Yeah,
and he's not.
Right.
But hearing this from Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce is not a good thing to me, because I do think they're going to lose. And then what happens? Now, they're saying it's not going to lead to a divided locker room, but what if they lose two in a row? And it's not necessarily in bad fashion. They just lose because they're not as good as the Saints, which they're not.
This is why you get paid a lot to coach. You know, Billy Martin, the great ex-Yankee manager, used to say, 25 players in the locker room. 10 love me, 10 hate me. My job is to keep the five who are undecided away from the guys who hate me.
That makes sense. So the Rams will face the Patriots tonight for the first time since their Super Bowl matchup. We have NFL football every day now. That's the new thing.
This is going to be low scoring, I think. Very interesting matchup.
So in that 13-3 loss, the typically explosive Rams offense tied for the fewest points ever in a Super Bowl. It's also the fewest points that the Rams have ever scored under Sean McVay, who called the Super Bowl loss a very humbling night. Jared Goff doesn't look back fondly on that day either. He said there were not very many good memories at that game. Basically, unless you were a Patriots fan, no one has good memories of that Super Bowl.
Well, it was also
an awful watch.
It was the dullest Super Bowl of my life.
It was an awful watch for everyone except for Patriots fans. and actually, I don't know. I think that most Patriots fans would admit that it wasn't a great watch until the end when they won.
Yeah.
It wasn't enjoyable, but I'm very interested in this game tonight. I mean, they're both coming off of really big wins. Obviously, the Patriots a bigger win than the Rams, but I mean, that was still a very significant win over the Cardinals.
If New England's a Fox Bets is a 5-point dog, it makes no sense. They stayed in L.A. They're on the road. They don't.
Well, I think that's playing a part in it too, because it is a road game, but you don't have the fans in the stands, so you don't have that element. And they didn't go home after the Chargers game, so they didn't have the travel across the country. They've kind of had some time to chill and relax. It's actually nice and warm here in LA right now, as opposed to New England, where there's, you know, it's winter. So I do think that's playing a role in it as well. This is going to be a really good game tonight, and a lot of emotions. Although it's a very different, both teams are very different, obviously.
I'm so excited to watch it. I'm so into this game.
It's going to be a good one. So Giannis has until December 21st to sign his Supermax extension with the Bucks, but that's less than 2 weeks away, and he still hasn't made a decision. He said he's not focusing on a new deal right now, and said he's letting his agent handle those discussions and working on himself and getting ready for the start of the season. They did do a lot, did the Bucks, this offseason. They traded for Drew Holiday, sent Eric Bledsoe to the Pelicans, on George Hill to the Thunder. They lost Robin Lopez and Wesley Matthews in free agencies. They re-signed Pat Connaughton. I don't know. I honestly think he's going to end up staying.
You know what?
I feel like at this point we'd be hearing more about how upset he is.
If I was Giannis, I would go to Miami. But I think it's better for the NBA that he stays in Milwaukee, and I think he will. So I'm 75% stays in Milwaukee. I think it's better for the league if you have one of these small towns, unglamorous cities. Because I believe NBA, like college sports, is about recruiting. High school players are free agents. And I think Pat Riley has a history of unbelievable drafting, international and domestic, unbelievable ability to sell Miami and sell the franchise. So for me, Giannis, I go with Jimmy Butler, no state tax, aqua water in a winter league, and I'm always going to have a Tyler Hero being drafted. I think it's a no-brainer if I'm Giannis. But I do think it's better for the league if Milwaukee's got a top five player in the league.
I don't know what Miami's money situation is now because of the BAM contract. So Giannis would have to, I mean, he wouldn't be signing a Supermax, so he'd be taking less money anyway.
Well, you're going to save that in taxes alone.
Yeah. I mean, and at that point, you're going to make that in other contracts outside of basketball anyway. I'm with you. It's better for the NBA overall if he's there. I don't think he'll ever win a championship in Milwaukee. And I think that's because he clearly needs another star, not another great player, another star by his side.
Here's another reason I always take less in the NBA. Because in football, injuries, boom, your career's over. Baseball, I'm a pitcher, arm falls off. In basketball, you can if you take care of yourself, you can play for 15 years. This money, it's just a money train that keeps going. I don't know what the average NFL career is. It's probably 4. I don't know what the average baseball career is. It's probably 5. But for NBA stars, These careers don't end. You can just keep playing. So
no one even talks about LeBron retiring.
It's not even Michael basically was so intense, he wore himself out.
Right.
He retired twice. He could have kept playing. He was still scoring 18, 20 a game. He could have played for another 5 years.
I just also think that this isn't going to Miami is not Giannis's personality. Because if he goes to Miami, that's pressure. Because now you've made a decision to go to an organization that people love to hate anyway.
Yeah.
You've got Pat Riley there. They were in the finals last year. You lost to them. So, there's an added pressure if he goes there, which he may just not want.
Joy Taylor, fantastic new haircut. And the Herd Line News.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback, is now joining us live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, so I saw a story this week on Jim Harbaugh, and we always know there's about 6-7 coaches that get replaced every year. There's always about 6 teams that need a new quarterback and about 6 teams that need a new coach. So you hear Jim Harbaugh. It felt like to me, Albert, it was a little like he was getting some pushback at Michigan, and he thought, I'm going to have my agent spread the news that I'm pretty popular still in the NFL. That's what it felt like to me. But do you think there's a team? Do you buy the reports?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to have a decision to make. My guess would be that Michigan's going to put something in front of him over the next couple of weeks. And my understanding is, I think he's probably already got a pretty good idea of what the NFL landscape looks like for him. So, I think that's really going to be what it comes down to is that, he'll have to decide, do I take my swing at the NFL and wait on signing an extension on Michigan, or do I go forward with Michigan? And I don't have insight into what decision he's going to make when it comes to that, but I do think it's something that he'd mull. And there are two teams in the NFL I'd keep my eye on. Number one would be the Jets, just because Woody Johnson, who will be coming back from the UK, has had a fixation with Jim Harbaugh. And this goes back over a decade. He's checked in with him over the years. It wouldn't surprise me if Woody Johnson comes back from the UK and all of a sudden tries to make a run at Jim Harbaugh. The second team, and this is one that I think would be, I just think sort of fits what Jim Harbaugh has to sell at the NFL level, would be the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
And I think if you look at Harbaugh, now here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, why would you hire the guy coming from what's happened at Michigan? Here's the thing. He's Bill Parcells. He comes in, he shakes your program up, he'll get immediate results. And then you know what? 3 or 4 years down the line, maybe he's worn everybody out and he's gone. It's what happened at Stanford. It's what happened in San Francisco. It's what could happen at Michigan. And so I think if there's a team that's perfect for him, it's got to be a team that needs to win right now. Look at the Bears, Colin. What do they have? They've got a great defense that maybe has 1 or 2 runs left in it with Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Fuller, Trevathan, that whole group. And so if you're the Bears right now, you're probably not worried about 5 years from now. You're probably looking and saying, can we get one more great run out of this defense? And I think Jim Harbaugh has shown that he's capable in that sort of scenario.
Boy, that is interesting. That is really, really interesting.
For them too, of course, as you know.
Yeah. Let me throw this out. We talk about Carson Wentz. You can't get rid of Carson Wentz for a couple of years. You could get rid of Doug Peterson. Is he in trouble, the head coach in Philly?
I think everybody's under evaluation in Philly. My understanding is the owner's not happy. And I can't say exactly what level the changes are going to come at, but I think everybody's going to get a hard look. And that's top to bottom, scouting, coaching, the whole thing. Now, maybe it just means there are more changes in the offensive staff. That's happened twice now, since they won that Super Bowl. So it's possible it's just that. But I do think that, everybody in football operations is going to be under some level of scrutiny when we get to January. And then I think the decision on Wentz is going to kind of be built out from that. And I tell you what, Colin, a lot of people think his contract's not tradable. It is. I look at his contract. I mean, it's less than $100 million over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you're another team, I think the way you look at that is he's got one guaranteed year left. That's at $25 million, right? So you're basically bringing him in at the rate that the Colts brought in Phillip Rivers at last year. If it doesn't work out, you spent $25 million. That sucks, right? If it does work out, you have them at a discount rate for the 3 years after that.
Yep.
So I think that the Eagles would be able to find a suitor, maybe with Frank Reich in Indianapolis.
Yep.
If they can't find the issue there is managing the dead cap money on the other end, right? Like where the Eagles would have to swallow a bunch of dead cap to make the deal. But here's the thing about that, right? If you're pulling the plug on Carson Wentz, aren't you going through a complete rebuild anyway?
Yeah.
Like with the age of that roster and everything else, I think at that point, you're just going to say, you know what? We got to blow the whole thing up. Yeah. So I think so much of where the Eagles go from here is going to be determined by whoever's in charge making that decision. Is Carson Wentz fixable?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. The contract for Wentz is not bad. The Colts right now are paying Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers $46 million, and you get twice the athlete with Carson Wentz. Now, let's go to this. Buys work differently for different teams. So when I look at Tampa Bay getting a buy, I think to myself, Tom Brady is about the most intense guy in the league. It's a perfect time. So you feel like a playoff team with inconsistency. I mean, I watched the Cowboys take a bye and go from unwatchable to almost beating the Steelers, beating the Vikings, and at least being competitive against Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, you can attack byes a different way. Give everybody rest or really go all in on fixing our issues. Your thoughts about what this bye does for Brady and Arians and where that relationship, Albert, stands today?
A great chance to reset for everybody, I think. You know, when I talked to Bruce Arians and other people in the Bucs organization about this, you know, in the spring and summer, really the idea was we're not going to change the system for Brady because Brady is such a proficient learner that he'll be able to pick up whatever we throw at him. And the best thing for the other 10 guys in the huddle is to keep the status quo and then have Brady make it work. Well, I think what we've seen since is that the system doesn't really fit Brady that well,
right,
and that they've had to make some adjustments on the fly. And if you look at the history of older quarterbacks in this spot, right, Brett Favre, when he went to Minnesota, had that great year. Daryl Bevel was his offensive coordinator. He had background with him from Green Bay. And then look at Peyton Manning in Denver, right? They had designs on melding Mike McCoy, Adam Gase's system with what Peyton Manning did in Indianapolis. About halfway through that first year, they decided, you know what, the hell with this. Let's just do what Peyton Manning's good at. And they wound up getting an MVP out of him the next year. And so I think that that's sort of the point that the Bucs and Tom Brady are at right now, where they've tried it. I mean, they tried to make it work, but I still think that if you kind of make the offense a little deeper, you know, like mentally, you kind of like increase your library offensively, and you do a little bit more of what Tom Brady can do. If you can make it work for the other players, I think you're going to get the most out of them. So I look back at the history of the Vikings with Favre, the Broncos with Manning, and I have to think that they used this week to at least move a little bit closer to what Tom Brady's been comfortable with over the last 20 years. And if that's what they did, then they could be better off for it going into December.
Couple of minutes left. You know the Patriots as well as anybody who covers this league. They are 2 plays from 8-4. Whereas they were wildly inconsistent in the first 7 to 8 weeks, they've become a little more consistent in recent weeks. They could have easily beaten Buffalo. If they beat tonight the Rams, it is going to be frightening for the rest of the league that they are winning with no passing game and no playmakers and no great pass rusher. I guess I'd ask you now, it still creates a dilemma. What in the world are they doing at quarterback? Garoppolo, Cam, draft? This can't be the model for the next 4 years.
I'm putting them in the bucket with the Niners and the Raiders. And what I mean by that is I think both the Niners and Raiders are okay with where they're at with their starting quarterback right now, but have their eyes open for an upgrade if it comes along. And so would the Patriots be okay with bringing back Cam Newton for another year? I think they would be. And the main reason why is because I think they've had a hard time getting a full evaluation on Cam based on what's around him. And I think they've come to the realization over the last couple of months that it's just not good enough. And it's not an 11-game sample size. Go back. I wrote about this week, Colin. Go back and look at the last 9 games of last year. Brady was 4-5 in those games, and his numbers were almost identical to the numbers that Cam's putting up now. Cam's passer rating through 11 games is 80. Brady's passer rating in the last 9 games of last year was 78. And so I think there's an acknowledgement in the building right now that what they've put around the quarterback, regardless of who the quarterback is, isn't good enough, and they're going to take that into account when they make the decision on Cam Newton after the year. So if there's an upgrade, I think they would go for it. Like if Matt Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody like that's available, I think that they would jump if they saw somebody as an upgrade. But I don't think they're as out on Cam Newton as people might think. I think they see him as a player that might be okay as sort of the bridge quarterback to get them to whoever the next one is.
That was really good reporting. That is fascinating. that Cam's 11 games and Brady's last nine. That is really, really
20 game sample size.
See, that's why we bring on the show. See that right there? So we all got smarter. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good talking to you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Colin.
You know, I will say this. That's fascinating. The one thing I will say about New England, we were talking about this as a staff this morning. The one area they have drafted well and they continue to is the offensive line. What's the kid, Michael Onwuehu, the offensive lineman they draft? Onwuehu is great. He's been a huge hit. Joe Tooney's still great. Shaq Mason's still great. Their center's still great. So Damian Harris, the running back's been proficient, so that's interesting. That the other thing is they're acknowledging what we've been on for about 5 years is you got no playmakers. It's the slowest roster in the league. This is why Brady left, and this is why Cam is throwing for 69 yards. So
and that's where they don't draft well.
Poorly at best. That's where you have to just say, okay, we're a company. We do one thing really poorly. Let's fix that. Bring somebody from the outside in because the people in the building aren't good at it. So let's go out of the building, bring somebody in that does it. Go to the Steelers and figure out the scout who drafts wide receivers. Coming up next, Brett Favre did it again. I said I wasn't going to comment on Brett Favre's comments. He made a comment. I have to comment on a Brett Favre comment. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New streaming service coming. It's called Discovery Plus. A lot of brands, Food Network, HDTV. They have their exclusive originals, too. It starts next year. U.S. only, Discovery Plus. So Brett Favre makes comments, and I always cringe. Because not all great players are great analysts, right? Some are, but there's been a lot more failed analysts than great analysts. You know, Tony Romo kind of shocked us how good he was. Aikman's great. Collinsworth is great. But would you have known, like, when they broke into the league, oh, those will be the best analysts. Bradshaw's obviously, Howie Long. There's been a lot of guys that aren't very good because they play the game, they don't know the game, and they don't think the game. Brett Favre says a lot of stuff that's nonsense. But what he said yesterday on his Sirius show, it doesn't have to be right, but I was very happy. I liked where what is happening now with Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Here you go.
I think he, you know, aside from the Super Bowls, he may be the greatest player ever. I say this all the time. Tom Brady is the greatest player ever if we're measuring from a Super Bowl. And statistic-wise, Tom has put up tremendous statistics and has won 6 Super Bowls. But Aaron is, believe me, the Packers are good year in and year out because of him. And his statistics certainly speak for themselves.
All right, so let me start with this. Aaron is the MVP of the league, not just this year, but there's no question. It's a franchise that doesn't have an owner and can't get free agents. It's the smallest market of any pro team. Aaron is the most valuable player in this league, like LeBron's been for the last 15 years every year. Aaron's the most valuable player in this league. The Chiefs have gone to a lot of playoff games without Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's won a lot of games with a lot of quarterbacks. The Chiefs aren't as good without Patrick. But the Chiefs would be viable with this roster without Patrick Mahomes. They'd be viable. They were viable, and the roster was less talented than this. Green Bay is a mess without Aaron Rodgers. So he is the most valuable guy in the league. And I love his response to this because he is so tickled by it. You can't wipe the smile off Aaron's face.
I love Favre. He's such an interesting, unique guy as well. He shoots from the hip. So, you know, he kind of says what's on his mind all the time. It's fun to be back in touch with him and to have that friendship and that kinship. And I appreciate anything that he says.
You can't wipe the smile off his face. So, first of all, I've said for years, I'm more of an Aaron guy than a Favre guy. I like the way he intellectually approaches the game. But, you know, it's really funny. If they were actors, Favre is John Wayne. Iconic. They name airports after John Wayne. I love Don Cheadle. They don't name airports after him. Iconic, gunslinger, tough guy, hero, successful. Details, sometimes not the greatest actor, but he just sold personality. John Wayne was, as a kid, was just bigger than the screen. Aaron Rodgers is Christian Bale. Little prickly, little aloof, doesn't get along with everybody, but critically acclaimed, and damn can that guy act. And I love the fact that they're close now. because this makes me genuinely happy. And I've always been more of an Aaron guy. Even, you know, you don't think that. I think I like the way Aaron approaches the position. And I like Bale more than John Wayne. But there's value in both. If they start naming airports after you, there's value in both. And I'm just, I love the fact that Brett said it, and you can't take the smile off Aaron Rodgers' face. Greg Cosell next, hour two.